This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. So we're going to dispense with the pleasantries. I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, and then we're going to light this candle. All right, real quick, it's the noon hour. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that means. It's lunch time, the lunch hour here at the Adam Carriker Show. And the ticket is sponsored by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue. Now, with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burn-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more, plus incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue. Again, two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. All right, lots to talk about. Matt Rhule, I think, literally just wrapped up his press conference addressing the media, obviously talking about Dylan Raiola, TJ Lateef, the rest of the season, UCLA. Lots to dive into there. We do have some clips real quick. I want to put a button. We just played UCLA, and it seems like USC, and it seems like a month ago. Does it not seem like forever ago with all the news that took place yesterday?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, I feel like we should address the game a little bit. Because now, after that, I just want to talk Dylan Lateef and looking forward. But two of the eight most iconic brands in all of college football, you know, there are people seriously starting to challenge our blue blood status. Jake, we've got to start winning more games, or I'm going to have less ammo to come back at them with. But for now, gosh darn it, we are still a blue blood. When those, like us in Michigan, two of the top eight, USC and Nebraska, two of the top eight, we got to talk about those games a little bit. Let's play some of the clips that we've got. Let's start off with my favorite player on the team. Not my children. I can have favorites. I don't care. And I think the best player on the team. A lot of good players on this team, but let's go with the clip of Emmett Johnson and how emotional he was following the USC game.
I mean, it's every game, honestly, but losing hurts. And when you go out to war with your brothers out there and you fall short, it hurts. We put a lot of work in throughout the week. So it was just a tough moment for me.
All right. Like, none of that surprises me. If you saw him, I believe he was legit in tears walking off the field. Like, he played with such emotion, such passion. I don't know where he finds the running room that he gets sometimes. He is, in my opinion, the best player on this team, a team that has some good players, a team that needs some improvement and progress, etc. Just to put that out there, because then we'll get, oh, they're not that good. Okay, covered it. Covered our bases. We're still going to get it, aren't we? All right, that's okay. Much like Jake Sorensen, I can handle the heat, ladies and gentlemen. Jake's probably in the back shaking his head right now. That's okay. All right. When it comes to the game on Saturday, I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but we do need to talk about it. Emmett, 29 carries, touched the ball 31 times, two receptions. Holgorsen came out, said, we're going to run the ball. We're going to establish the run, go right down the field and score. The blackout was freaking phenomenal. I don't know if you're a fan of it or not. I don't know if people just see it as a gimmick or not. I think something that I liked it. I would like to do it once a year. Pick like Penn State's wideout. Once a year, do the blackout. Okay? If we win, nobody even doubts this right now. If we get rolled in the game, which we did not, then I'm probably not saying this because I'd be standing on quicksand. But it was a close competitive game. I'm just going to say it. Come at me with the excuses stuff. If Dylan doesn't go out, this is not an indictment on TJ. Okay? If Dylan doesn't go out, I do think we win the game. But my point is, I thought it was pretty freaking cool. And I'd like to do it once a game, once a year, pick a big night game, kind of like Penn State does with the wideout, and make it our thing. I did see some jerseys that were slightly different than the actual jerseys we wore with a little bit of red on the outline. I think just a little bit of red might help a little bit, but I don't think it's mandatory. Again, I don't want to spend a ton of time on that. Those are just my quick thoughts on that. When you look at the game itself, we had We basically stalemated when Dylan went out of the game. Again, it's not an indictment on TJ. Hasn't played in 6 weeks. Was not getting reps with the ones. Okay, wasn't getting the majority of the reps. You know why? Because the ones get reps with ones, and they get the majority of the reps. Now, I'm not saying he never got any reps and never was in with the ones at all, but you're not even close to getting the majority of that. Also, he hadn't played in 6 weeks. The game plan was not built for him. Things that have been talked about up to this point. But we did stalemate as soon as Dylan went out of the game. And that was obviously a difference in the game. In fact, we had 8 drives where we moved the ball 25 yards or less, if you think about that. 8 drives where we moved the ball 25 yards or less. That's a lot of times and not moving the ball a lot. I don't know if that made sense, but I feel like it made sense. That makes sense? Moving the ball a lot?
Yeah.
The defense played well. The defense played well enough to win. We've got to get better at stopping the run. Our last 3 games, just look at our last 3 games. USC, Northwestern, Minnesota. Every single one of those teams has rushed the ball for over 5 to 5.5 yards per carry on average. That's just our last 3 games. You're not going to win games in the Big Ten when you're giving up 5 to 6 yards a carry. You're just not. We got to get better at stopping the run. That being said, they held the number one pass offense in the entire country. A team that averaged 327 yards passing a game to 135. In fact, USC total yards was 337, which almost matches their total passing yards per game. So the total offense that they had was equivalent to what they typically get just passing yards per game offensively. The Trojans, 327 pass yards per game on average coming in. 337 is what they had total offense. They averaged 530 yards of total offense coming into the game. The issue was the ground game. Now, they got their average. I don't know if people didn't listen to us. Why wouldn't people listen to us? People should like get out a highlighter, take notes, especially when you're talking bad news, Bach.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm just saying we talked run game, stop the run, run game, stop the run. We ran the ball. They ran the ball for 202 yards. They averaged 203 yards rushing a game. I think because it's USC, you don't think running. But if you studied, they ran the ball for more yards per game than Northwestern did. And we needed to stop the run to beat Northwestern. Northwestern was 190 a game. USC was 203. They ran for 202. We still got to get better at stopping the run. The atmosphere was phenomenal. The team played their hearts out, their guts out. We did not get the job done. We did not get the win. Yes, if Dylan stays in, I do think we end up getting the win. But that's part of football. The next man has to be ready. I don't put it on a teenage true freshman quarterback. The coaches have to have him more ready. Now, they're a bit of a catch-22. It's a bit of a conundrum. So I'm going to ask you 2 questions. First question, would you have been playing TJ Lateef more throughout games, throughout the season, burning the red shirt? So he's only 1 year younger eligibility-wise than Dylan, but on the off chance that Dylan can't play in a game. Or would you have done what they did, play him a ton versus Houston Christian and Akron, and then try to maintain the red shirt? It's a catch-22 either way. What would you have done if you were the coach?
Well, it would have been nice if Nebraska had an opportunity, I think, to get him more in the game. But you look at these other games. I mean, you beat Northwestern by 7. You beat Maryland by 3. You beat Michigan State by 11. I mean, these other games, Cincinnati's a 3-point game. You know, the losses with the Michigan, USC. I don't know if you want to pull Dylan out and put him in against Minnesota. That might have been the only opportunity. But I don't think there was much of an opportunity for that this season.
Dude, that is such an intelligent coach answer. You should be making $8 to $9 million a year.
That's right, you need to
march into DP's office. DP here? He's not going to hear this, is he? By the way, I get 51% of any of your raises that you get in the future if this works.
Are you my agent?
So the chancellor of the university, you know, contracts come up and his is coming up soon. And I joke, dude, make me your agent. I'll get you the biggest raise you've ever seen. I just want 51%. That's all. Every time he sees me, he just laughs and jokes now. All right. As far as TJ, I think you make a great point. So I take it you weren't a let's have a package here and there for TJ Lateef guy.
Early in the year, I kind of was, but that was when Nebraska was having their kind of red zone struggles because I just thought they could utilize his run, you know, running game. But they could have done that with Harbor. I mean, they could have done that in different ways. They decided never to do it. Maybe that could have been a spot to put him in.
So let me ask, would you have burned the red shirt to have some packages with him, or would you have done what Nebraska did?
If I felt like it, if it was effective, if I ran it in practice, I thought this was more of an effective red zone offense, I would definitely have burned the red shirt.
I didn't think they were going to do that. TJ was never going to start over Dylan. Like, we kind of knew that. And it was, okay, I don't think they want to take Dylan off the field because they feel like he is their guy and he is the leader of the team. And I think they don't want to take him off the field. That's how I felt all year. And so when people would ask me, I wouldn't address what I would do. I simply said, it's not going to happen because I know it's not going to happen. The only way it was going to happen was, God forbid, an injury. Obviously, Dylan unfortunately got hurt. Speedy recovery. We got some updates there on that here in a second. Last question, and then let's put a button on USC. Man, it would be nice. Michigan, USC, you win one of those two games. Maybe you don't lose to Minnesota. You're sitting here at 7-2. Just one of those games goes differently. And Minnesota, oddly enough, is the one that would have to go drastically differently. And that's why I still say 8 wins is I thought about moving the goalposts like you did on Friday. You moved the goalposts pre-Dylan injury. I'm just bus driving all over you right now. If you want to respond, you can.
This was contract extension talk. I said he did the bare minimum of getting to back-to-back bowl games.
Oh, not your contract rule. I'm still not moving the goalposts. It's 8 wins. You should have won one of those three games before. We're probably going to be an underdog every game the rest of the year. I think we're already a dog versus UCLA. We're going to be a dog at Penn State. We're going to be a dog at home versus Iowa. And all the bowl game projections that I see have us playing like Texas, Oklahoma, LSU, which just excites people. We're going to be a dog. My point is I'm not moving the goalposts. It's next man up. You figure it out. TJ's going to get all the reps with the ones this week. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't mind if he got the reps with the ones and the twos. Like Jalen Gromstad has 6 years of college football experience. Not a ton at the FBS as far as starting and playing. But you got to get that guy reps. You just do. And you're going to, it's kind of worth the risk. You've got to be able to run plays where it involves him doing the read option, RPO, which is a risk of him getting hurt. But if you don't do that, you take away his skill set. And the one thing you know you can count on from your young quarterback right now is his ability to run. Like you've just got to, in my humble opinion. I'm not moving the goalposts. 8 wins. Figure it out. I'm tired of other teams starting backup quarterbacks and missing, beating us with third string running backs like USC did. Although that's not your typical third string running back. That guy's absurdly talented. Still a freshman though. I'm tired of everything having to be perfect. And then we may or may not win the game. It's about time we had to crawl our way out of some crevices. Now, to be clear, don't smirk when I say crevice. You know what I meant. To be clear, I'm not predicting we're going to win 8 games. I am not predicting it. What I'm saying, as I said before, the season 8 is a successful season. I am not changing that. I understand that we're a dog in every game going forward. I understand we have no idea what to expect out of the quarterback position. What I'm saying is you should have won one of those 3 games earlier that you lost. Now you got some crevices or holes or what. Wow. Stop smirking. Things you got to crawl out of. You dug a hole. We're going to go with a hole in the ground, okay, to clear everything up.
Yep.
You got a hole in the ground that you dug. You got to crawl yourself out. Now, if you go 7-6, am I dubbing it a failure? No, I'm not dubbing it a failure. But if you go 6-7, I will. By God, that's a failure. But to be a success, at least 8 wins. At least 8 wins.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Iowa. Third string walk-on quarterback. We tripled their total yardage of offense. Who won?
Iowa.
Yeah. It's an opportunity for our coaches to show what they can do. I'm not predicting 8 wins. I'm saying we should win 8 games. I might predict us to lose every game the rest of the year when the individual game comes up. I don't know. I know we're a dog at UCLA. Beyond that, I haven't looked at too much at the Bruins yet. Because, you know, there's been some news over the weekend. My final thoughts on USC. Oh, should Matt Rule have gone for it or kicked the field goal? Two timeouts. You're two timeouts deep. It appeared as though maybe TJ lined up wrong the one time because Harburg tried to move him. I don't know. I haven't looked at my notes from the press conference yet. Maybe he addressed that. Maybe he didn't. Two timeouts deep. You kick the field goal. Hindsight's easy. 20-20, you miss it. Oh, should have gone for it. In the moment, I said we should go for it. If Dylan's out, we got to take advantage of this. The 52-yarder, which Cunanan made versus Cincinnati, he's made it one time in his career, so he can make it, but it's not a gimme. We need points because USC is going to put more on the board. We got to take advantage of this. The reason I would not have gone for it against Michigan was you needed momentum to start the game and get the crowd into it. And I said that in the moment. There were no witnesses, so I can't prove it. But I know what I said. It's easy. Hindsight is 20/20. But I'm telling you, in the moment, I was like, take the points, get the momentum against Michigan. USC, no. We got to take advantage of this. We got to at least get a closer field goal or try to keep our defense off the field because we're struggling to stop the run. They're going to wear us down. Like, in the moment, with nobody else around to verify my story, I was very definitive. I'm telling you. But hindsight is easy, 20/20. I know what I would have done. What would you have done?
As for me, I was fine with the field goal. I think that you're up 14-8 at the time. The offense had looked horrible. Obviously, lost Dylan, you know, at that point going in the third quarter. I should say the offense looked horrible in the third quarter. They looked fine in the first half. So I would have said, okay, try to extend this. So I have no problem with that. The two timeouts you used on the drive to miss, you know, especially the one before you decide to go out left there and then kick the field goal, that just can't be done, especially, and then come out with 0 points on the drive if he misses the field goal.
Game management?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody has things to work on, right? Everybody's a human being. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. You don't want to be the same player tomorrow as you were today, and you don't want to be the same coach tomorrow as you were today because everyone's trying to get better. Let's hear from Matt Rhule on his decision not to put Dylan Raiola back in the game, which he didn't have this information that we now have, that he's out for the year, broken fibula. I think I saw something come through about a surgery. I'll get clarification on that in a second. He didn't know any of that. Dylan wanted to go in. Here's what he had to say after the game.
When it came to Dylan, who made the decision that he wasn't going to go back in? Did he say he wanted to go back in?
Or? Dylan wanted to play. From a medical perspective, they were like, you know, he can't run. You know, he said, hey, I can move around. I just can't run. I just didn't see the respectable thing to do to put a guy out there who can't run. So, TJ, I think TJ has a bright future. He's going to do a lot of good things. And I thought, you know, maybe he might be able to run, you know what I'm saying, make some plays. But really, at the end of the day, I just don't think you can put a guy out there who can't defend him, protect himself. I don't think that's the right thing to do. So, you know, the trainers didn't want him to go out there. But they didn't say, no, he can't. They just kind of were like, hey, he shouldn't be out there. So I told Dylan, I love you too much to ask you to play when you're hurt like this.
So I did say after the game, and this was before we knew Dylan was out or anything like that. Let me see here real quick. Dylan will undergo surgery, okay? And another offensive lineman's out for the season. So we'll get into all that in a minute as well. My instant thought was, do you understand in that moment, Matt Rhule knows we're on the national stage. Matt Rhule knows the scrutiny if we lose. Matt Rhule knows we have a better chance of winning with Dylan Raiola than TJ Lateef in that moment. Matt Rhule knew the aftermath of what it would be. I'm not indicting any coach I ever played for. Any coach, I can't think of one. Not that they didn't care about me. It was a different day and age, part of it. Part of it was I would have thrown a fit like a toddler. That's not like to pat myself on the back at all. I wasn't the brightest when it came to making certain decisions. Every coach I ever had personally would have said, go. We'll figure out how bad it is afterwards. College football and the game of football has evolved. Some things I like, some things I don't. But I do think there are more coaches in today's day and age, and Matt Rhule just showed he's one of them. I kind of already figured he was, that genuinely are going to look at things a little bit different. And in that moment, he did what was best for Dylan Raiola and someone who genuinely cares about his players. That's something that should not be glossed over, in my opinion. Now, who knows? Maybe Dylan goes out there. Maybe he doesn't play well at all. But Matt Rhule didn't know any of that in the moment. He knew what he was told from the trainers. He knew what Dylan was telling him. And he had to make a decision that was going to lead to high scrutinization based on the outcome of the game. Now the decision, it's easy to look back and say, hey, that was the right decision. Great job, coach. He did it in the moment when it was the hardest, when not every coach would have done that. So kudos to him for that. All right, we got one last clip, and this is TJ after the game as well.
I just got to stay ready. You never know when your opportunity is going to come. and practice as if I was the starter at the end of the day.
You got any reaction to anything real quick, Jake? Is there anything off the text line? I see you looking over there.
Yeah, we've got 1562 says, watching the close-up replay, you could see that something snapped, so it was immediately obvious that he's probably out for the season.
So I looked at my wife. So I'm sitting next to my wife and my daughter, Addie, my oldest daughter, and I was like, oh, that's bad. I saw the replay. And Addie wanted me to replay it so she could watch it. Now, she's a tender-hearted person. I was like, I'm not replaying that for you. Now, he got up, and he gingerly walked off the field at the end of the game. I've seen, and I'm not diminishing what happened to Raul at all, I've seen players, the ankle's the wrong way, like his was when the USC defender landed on it, and then it stays the wrong way. So thank goodness that was not the case. But it was not hard to tell that, hey, I don't think he's going to play against UCLA in that moment. I was like, I think he's done for tonight. I don't think he's going to be back for UCLA. We got a bye week, maybe Penn State. And I thought that was best case scenario. Obviously, we know surgery now. We know the rest of the information. Broken fibula, high ankle sprain, all that stuff. He's out for the rest of the year. TJ. Yeah, man. When he talks about practicing like you're the starter, you never know when it's going to be your moment. You truly never know when it's going to be your moment. It's funny, I've been to some recent high school volleyball games, and I know a particular girl who a lot of people thought should have been starting. All of a sudden, she gets a chance to start, and it's how do you capitalize? Out of nowhere, no prep, no nothing. Just you're starting. No rhyme or reason or anything. Just you're starting. The other person was there. How do you capitalize? And that's a high school volleyball example. We just had a college football example. I mean, you know, I'm not comparing anyone here to Tom Brady, but what I am saying is Tom Brady got a chance because Bledsoe went down and he was ready. Not the most talented, not the most highly drafted, not the most physically gifted, but unlike some folks, he was ready. I can't wait to see what they're able to do with TJ Lateef now that he'll get reps with the ones, and Dana knows, hey, I'm going to build a game plan around this guy. Now you can utilize his strengths, and now you can game plan, rep, and practice his strengths. Do I all of a sudden think he's going to go out and set the world on fire? I mean, physically, he has the potential. I'm not going to expect it, though. What I am expecting is him to look better than he did Saturday. And I am excited to see the progression. Because after UCLA, we got a bye. You got 2 weeks to really work with him then. To really help him get better, develop, work on timing with receivers. I don't even know that he'll have timing down with receivers. Can he complete passes to him? Yes, but timing is another thing. You have to work with them specifically. That's been what Dylan's doing the majority of time till now. I'm excited to see what he can do versus UCLA, who, by the way, is wildly unpredictable, just like us. Their quarterback may be even more. Do we have a caller?
We have a caller.
Okay. They may be even more wildly unpredictable because their quarterback is just as wildly unpredictable as our quarterback. Our quarterback's just never started a game. So I don't know what to make of UCLA. It's going to be fun, but I'm curious to see how he progresses to Penn State. And then a month from now, how does he look versus Iowa? All right, Alex, what do we got?
Hey, right. Adam.
Yeah.
Hey, as a former defensive player, did you think the tackle on Dylan Raiola was dirty? It looked like a hip dive that I know is illegal in the NFL. And if so, do you think that should be outlawed within the college game?
So you're not the first person who's asked me this. So this is a commonly asked question. So thank you for calling in. Thank you for asking. It looked to me like he was just tackling him, and that's the way they ended up falling. Now, part of this is you can't hit him high. Now you get penalties thrown if you hit him in the knees. I mean, at some point, you just got to be able to tackle somebody. I do think the fundamentals of tackling need to be focused on more in general, because I think there's less tackling and scrimmaging and practices than there's ever been. And I think there's some just reason for that to an extent. Guys are making more. You don't have the depth because guys will transfer and leave now because they can play more and make money elsewhere. I get all that. I think the fundamentals of tackling need to be emphasized more in practice. From what I saw, and again, I was more focused on Dylan and what his foot looked like, which is what I was talking about a minute ago, than the actual attempt of how to tackle. I can go back and look at it again. My initial thoughts was, I just think he was just trying to get him down. And at some point, you got to be able to just tackle somebody. I don't know. What did you think, Jake?
Yeah, I didn't have too much of a problem with it. I mean, again, it looked like a hip drop tackle, but to your point, I mean, when they did this, it just outlawed it a couple of years ago in the NFL. I think it was last year. And so it's new, right? So it's just it's hard. I hate it because it is, you know, it happened to Dylan, but at the same time, it's like you're saying, it's so hard to play defensive football these days and try to tackle perfectly. Now, he did get hit on the head. That could have been called.
It was fair.
Awful pass protection. The play, or I shouldn't say awful, wasn't great, obviously. They only had two routes, you know, so it was extremely dissected. But as far as the actual tackle, I agree with you. I mean, he's just trying to get the quarterback down to end the play. He's not trying to end his season.
Alex, are you still with us? He hung up.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this. And some people might, oh, how dare you talk about a guy who just got, I'm just trying to analyze football. Did you feel like he held the ball too long? Because I remember watching that play being like, get rid of the ball, get rid of the ball. Of course, I didn't know he was going to get hurt. I didn't know any of that. I was just like, I felt like pass protection wasn't great. Okay. But I was like, oh man, you got to get rid of the ball a little bit quicker too. But that's, both those have been reoccurring themes the whole year.
Well, again, there was two guys running routes. One was on a crosser against his own defense. That was going to have to wait to open up until late. The other one, guy was going deep. I couldn't see, you know, if you're at the game, maybe you could see what was going on, but I couldn't see because it went off screen. He stepped up in the pocket. That's what you asked him to do. Yep. Corcoran got pushed right all the way back to him.
Yep.
Pritchett whiffed on the guy that eventually got to Dylan. Emmett tried to chip in, didn't do it. So they double teamed the guy that eventually got to Dylan and it didn't work. So it was just a bad play altogether.
I mean, if you can't win a one-on-one, you got to be able to win two-on-ones. You know what I'm saying? So, all right. We're going to head to break. We've got notes from the press conference. We're going to react to Matt Rhule addressing the media. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.